Welcome to the podcast of Encounter Ministries International. This message ministered by Leon Dupria will bring supernatural transformation to your life. And we also believe that you will have an unforgettable encounter with the supernatural God. For more free resources such as sermons, videos, photos, and information on this ministry, please visit our website at www.encounterint.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube by searching for Encounter Ministries International or Leon Dupria. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you.
Father, we thank you for your presence, your power, your anointing. I can feel your anointing all over this place, on every single person. If you can feel his presence, just raise your hands to heaven. Just surrender to him. Just yield to him. Just take it in. Take him in. Just surrender to him. That's all he wants. You know, peace. Worship is what takes us into the presence. Worship is what takes us into the glory. Worship is the key to heaven. Worship is the key to revelation. Revelation is the key that will give us faith. So we increase our faith by worship. Father, fill this place right now with the power of your presence, with your Holy Spirit to teach, to minister, to speak. I pray that you'll put your fire in my mouth, in your word, in my words, that you will direct it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray for every heart to be touched. I pray for people to be transformed, to be changed by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you will come and walk into this place even right now, for this atmosphere is loaded with your presence. In Jesus Christ's name, we love you, we glorify you, we honor you, we worship you, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, come on, let's give him a praise offering. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks to the band. You know, first of all, I just wanted to say I'm excited to be here. You know, but even as I'm standing here this morning, even I was prophesying over a few people, I feel very loaded. I don't know, I feel like my spirit is full. And I want to tell you that tonight is going to be a night of spiritual breakthrough for you. There's a word that God has given me. Amen. Come on, just give Jesus a praise offering. There's a word that God has given me, a revelational word about 2 weeks ago about spiritual breakthrough. That many times the people of God has forgotten how to break through. God is the Lord of the breakthrough. Breakthrough means perez in Hebrew, which is the spirit of breakthrough, the spirit of perez. Let me tell you tonight, the spirit of perez is going to be in this place. If you need breakthrough in your business, if you need breakthrough in your spiritual life, if you need breakthrough in your personal life, in whatever place you need breakthrough at, I want to tell you the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be in this place to break the yoke, to bring breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough for your life. God gave me a word out of the New Testament for that, and you know, I'm excited to share that tonight. This morning I'm going to share with you the secret to victory, but before I do that, just want to share that Pastor Mark sends his love. But I want to share with you this morning quickly the secret to victory, just something that's really being stirred in my heart, because so many of us give up, or wanting to give up, and there's a weariness and a faintness that kicks in, a tiredness and that kicks in. And when you are tired, when you and I are weak, we are at the most dangerous place of our lives. Esau sold his birthright when he was weak. He came back from battle. He was tired. He was faint-hearted. And he was weak. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. Come on, are you guys with me? Because he was weak. When you and I are weak, that's when the devil begins to zone into us. And he's saying, ha-ha, that's where I'm going to get them. When we are at our weak, that's the most dangerous point where the devil can take us out. But let me tell you, I want to share with you a secret this morning that will take you from weakness to strength. Strength, that a secret to victory for every single Christian. I was sitting with a great man of God, with Pastor Benny Hinn a few weeks ago. I don't think my wife was with me. We had supper with him, and I was privileged to be one of three young people to sit with him around the table. And he was sharing with us. He was sitting next to me almost, and he was sharing. He was looking at all of us like this, and he was sharing, and we asked him the secret to longevity. Anybody can say whatever they want. I don't care, but at least the man is still going. And there's an anointing on his life. And I wanted to ask him, what's the longevity? Because I saw so many, you know, let me just get into this. I saw so many, I've been studying evangelists, revivalists. I can tell you the names of every healing evangelist and revivalist that was most probably famous. I studied their lives. I know what sin they fell into. And I became very discouraged. And I said, God, if this is the casualty rate of being in the ministry and bringing a move of God, I don't want it. Because how on the planet Earth am I going to make it? If 90% of them don't fail and don't even serve Jesus Christ at the end of the day, how am I going to make it? If most of the healing evangelists became homosexual, how am I going to make it? If most of the healing evangelists fell into a sexual immorality or a sexual sin or slept with their secretary or slept with their son-in-law and is still ministering to this day, many people sit even listening to them. Traveling with a son-in-law, sleeping with a son-in-law. Anyway, God bless them. There's things that we know that we can't share. I said, God, how am I going to make it? What if the casualty rate is so severe? How am I going to make it? And God shared something with me, but I'll get to that just now. That's a secret to victory that I'm going to give you. But Benny Hinn was saying to us, we asked him, what's the keys to longevity? He gave us three keys. He said, number one, prayer. He said, and not only prayer, seeking God. I'll get into that a bit later. And then he said, number two, the Word of God. He said, never ever stop reading the Word. He said, every day. And if you sit in front of Benny Hinn, you listen. You just say yes sir, no sir, and that's it. You don't move. You don't talk. You just listen. And I respect the authority. Some people might hate him sitting here, but I feel sorry for you. But sure, it went silent. Yeah, you guys okay? Come on. We don't speak against men of God here. We don't speak against, because that'll bring a curse in your life if you speak against ministers, you know. So, and I wanted to know, how did he make the longevity? And he said, the Word of God. And he said, he called us young men or children. I don't know what it was, young men. He said, kids. He said, kids, he said, I read the whole book of Romans this morning. He said, a day doesn't go by where I don't read either a whole book in the Bible, or at least a few chapters. And that hit me hard. And then the third key, he said, never, ever, ever give up on the call of God for your life. And that hit me strong. And he said, and then he explained to us some heavy private things of what he went through with his divorce. And how he came back to his wife, shared some things regarding Jimmy Swaggart, why Jimmy Swaggart fell. And I can't get into right now, but and he shared with us these keys of longevity: prayer, reading the Word. And he said, memorizing it, reading it, all chapters. And he said, never give up. He said, even the whole of hell. He told us these words. He said, you know what? I stood on the brink of hell. That's what he said. And I was sitting there with goosebumps and shivers all over my body. And I listened to him and he said, you know what? When my wife divorced me and my kids didn't want anything to know about me, now his kids is working for him and so on. But when my kids didn't want anything to know about me, he would tell us how he would get into his car and just drive away from his house just to get away from the family and everything. It's the pressure of ministry. And he said how he would have services and the anointing and the Holy Spirit and the power would be there, but he would get home and there would be nothing. And then he began to realize there's a difference between the anointing on your ministry and the anointing on your personal life. And he said he was literally standing on the brink of hell. And then God snatched him back. And he spoke about that repentance. He became much more humble and stuff like that. And as he was speaking to us. But those three keys, he said, those three keys were the keys that pulled him through. That's not the secret to victory. That's not what I want to share with you. But, you know, I came to a place the last 2 months, even with going out into ministry, and it's tough out there. I said to Pastor Mark, it feels like I've been thrown to the sharks. And not the rugby players, but real sharks. Literally feels like I've been thrown to the sharks and being ripped to pieces. And the last 2 months, I said to him, I was at his house a week ago. I said, Uncle Mark, I said, I want to give up. I said, it's too much. It's too hard. The betrayal, the religion, the attacks, the lies, the accusations, the hatred of those that love you and just betray you and everything in every realm. It was just too much. The anxiety was too much. And he looked at me and he said to me, never, ever give up. But then after that, we were talking and he said, Leon, even though everybody comes against you, and we had people come against us. I mean, they would accuse me of things. And then he said to me, Leon, he said, I can't give you any advice but this. He said, even if everybody comes against you, he said, even if I come against you, he said, there's one key that'll bring you through for the rest of your life. He said, that's why I make it. And he told me, he said, he doesn't know why he made it that far. He shouldn't have. But he said the only thing that he can put it down to is this. His relationship with God and the intimacy that he has with the presence of God. And he said to me this, he said, Leon, the secret is stay in the presence, stay in the manifest presence of God, stay in the secret place, stay in that place and keep your heart pure. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter who come against you, but stay in that place and then God will pull you through. Come on, are you guys with me? David said, hide me in your pavilion. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and every angel shall protect him. No harm shall come against him. He shall saw 1,000 fall on his left side and 10,000 fall on his right side, but it will not harm him. Which means that there is a place of hiding that is protection, that is a place of protection where nothing can touch you. And I'm going to close off with this, and then it's going to hit you, the revelation. But let me just say this. So you know, and I said to him, you know, my motto is this, that I'm going to die trying. I don't care if I made a mistake. I don't want to be 50 years old and have regrets. And let me tell you, if you're sitting in this place and you have regrets, God can bring a redemption of time in one split second of your life. Are you guys with me? I'm going to show it to you and take it out of the message right now, that even if you have felt like you've missed the call of God, God can redeem that time and you can enter back into that place and enter back into the promise of God like this for your life. Amen? You don't seem to be too excited, but let's get into the message. Are you guys happy to be here? Okay. You guys sad that I'm here? Okay, awesome. Okay, let's see where I want to get. I want to get to a certain place. Deuteronomy 32 verse 13. You can put that on the screen. Deuteronomy 32, 13. You know, before I put it on, maybe just take it off. If you have a phone, and it's all going to come to a point, my sermon now, I speak like this until I find my place. If you have a phone, it takes you about, let's say you have a new iPhone. It'll take your iPhone about 1 or 2 hours to charge fully. Especially these new types of phones, they charge quite fast. But in the same way, you and I have a spiritual battery that must be recharged. And if that battery is not recharged, then we are burning out. We become weak, faint-hearted. We have no more energy. And that's where the devil comes in with offense or weaknesses or attacks or temptation of sin or whatever he comes in with, whatever temptation he comes in with. But when we are at our weakest, when our spiritual energy is low, when our bad spiritual battery is no more recharged, how do I recharge my spiritual battery, my spirit? It can only be recharged in the manifest presence of God. My spirit gets life in the presence of God. So, you know, Deuteronomy 32, verse 13, let me just read the scripture. It says, he made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might produce, that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. I'm going to read it again. He said, he made him ride in the heights of the earth. There is a realm that I'm about to explain to you guys that I want to get through this morning. I got it through the first service, and I believe that I'm going to get it through the second service to you guys. And then tonight there's going to be spiritual breakthrough. Amen? Because I'm not going to be able to pray for you this morning. But let me say this. There is a realm of the heights and the depths of the realm of the spirit that once we enter into that place, let me tell you, that is the place of victory. He said, he will make you ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. Once you enter into a place of the heights of the realm of the spirit. What is the heights of the realm of the spirit? When we go into praise, you get normal praise and then you get high praise, where everybody's in unity and it feels like it's just going higher and higher and higher and higher. Or you're going into worship and then you get into high worship and it goes higher and higher and higher. How many of you have been in a worship service that when it stopped worshiping, it just feels like you're somewhere in heaven and you're like a little bit dizzy, you're in cloud 99. How many of you have ever felt that? That's the heights of the realms of the spirit. When you are in that place, that is where your hunger gets filled and your thirst gets quenched. It says, there I will make you eat of the produce of the fields. But not only that, he said, he carries on. He says, there he made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. He said, listen here, it is in the high places That is where the anointing of the Holy Ghost is found. In the high places, the honey speaks of the manifest, the thick manifest glory and manifest presence of God. He said, listen here, if you want the manifest presence of God, go into the high places of the Spirit. Begin to enter into a place of high praise, high worship, high praying. You know, a lot of people pray in other tongues. They'll pray like this. And they look at the lights and they look at the wind. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of seeking God, beginning to pray and entering into a place of going into the heights of the realms. It is in the heights of the realms where we hear God's voice. It is in the realm of the Spirit where we hide, where the devil cannot come near us. And when you begin to pray in other tongues, you pray like this, you are focused. Your spirit is focused about being in the Spirit. Jesus said these words. He said, the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You and I consist of spirit, soul, body. I can decide to serve God out of my body, soul, or spirit. But true worship comes from the Spirit. And when I begin to pray and I begin to pray in the Spirit, it sounds like this. And I focus and I close my eyes and I focus and my spirit is focused. I pray more and I'm and you begin to pray and you go higher and higher and you break through the prince of the power of the air and you break through every fowl and every bird, satanic bird, and you break through every demon until you get into the heavenly places. Jesus said we are seated on heavenly places. Come on, are you guys with me? That speaks of positional place. That doesn't mean that you and I are now all super spiritual. That is positional. We have to align ourselves to get there. We are there, but we have to get there. Amen? That's what it basically means. But that's how you get. And when you come out of that prayer after 3 or 4 hours, you come back down and you're full of goosebumps. That goosebumps isn't just chemicals in the mind, my friend. That is the fire of God that is on you because you just entered into heaven. And when you come back, you bring back a little bit of heaven back with you. And wherever you go, you carry a little bit of heaven or a little bit of fire or a little bit of glory with you into the room, wherever you're going or wherever you're walking. There's a manifest presence of God that is around you. And that is what the Deuteronomy is saying. He said, listen, you get into the heights of the realms of the Spirit. Get into the place where you can fly high. When you are high, you begin to draw the anointing out of the rock. But then there's a siphoning that must take place, which means you must draw on it. You must suck on it. You must be hungry. You must be thirsty for it. You must want it. Every desire inside of you must want it. Hunger, the word hunger means this. It means a strong desire, a strong, intense desire after something that if you don't get it, you will die. That's the hunger that God wants from us. Amen. True spirituality is hunger. Now let me give you the secret. I'm going to get to the secret to victory because I don't want to finish too late. What time does Pastor Mark usually finish here? Just, eh? Quarter to 12. 12. Okay, great. Okay. I want to give you guys the secret to victory. I so want to pray for you, but I want to, I'll leave that for tonight. And I know that it's public holiday and it's a long weekend and, you know, and all these things and, but I know the hungry ones are going to be here tonight. And the spirit of revival is going to enter. There's going to be breakthrough. The revelation that God has shared with you is really incredible for me. And maybe you've heard it before, but for me it was wow. And I'm going to tap into that tonight and release that tonight. And God is going to release spiritual breakthrough for you. But let me give you the secret to victory. That's the name of the message this morning. The secret to victory. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Okay, that's all good. But listen to the last sentence. It says, sorry, I have a bit of laryngitis. And he said, and as long as he sought the Lord, everybody say to me, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I asked God this question. I said, Father, if all these guys have failed, and you know what Jimmy Swaggart said to Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn went to Jimmy Swaggart's house and he told us this around the table. And he asked Jimmy Swaggart, he said, Jimmy Swaggart, how can you, no offense to anybody sitting here, but we all know it's public. He said, how can you preach on a Sunday with such an anointing, such that you can call people out by names, such power, yet you would go sleep with a prostitute on the Monday? And Jimmy Swaggart dropped his head in front of Benny Hinn and said, you know, Benny, I prayed my whole life and it didn't help me. And then that shook me, because that means that prayer isn't the key. A lot of other people have read the word that hasn't helped. But when I read the scripture, something stood out for me, because it says, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So I thought, okay, this guy prayed and, you know, prosperity came. But then God doesn't say that the Bible doesn't say he prayed. The Bible says he sought the Lord. There's a big difference between praying and seeking the face of God. Many, every religion almost prays. Come on, are you guys with me? Even the Christian religion prays. But only there's one religion that is different from any other religion. That is Christianity, where we seek the face of the living God. But not only that, we can experience the face. We can experience His face. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 15, you don't have to go there. It says, in the light of the face of the King is life, favor, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When you and I begin to seek the face of God, there's three things that comes upon us when we encounter His face: life, favor, and revival upon our lives. Come on, you guys with me. I have seen drug addicts enter. I've just had now one story. One of my team members, the guys are on our team, his wife used to follow my ministry all the time. You guys will meet them soon, but my wife used to follow my ministry all the time, but he wasn't saved. He didn't want anything to do with God. As he was into his parents kicked him out of his church, out of their church 10 years ago. He wanted nothing to do with God. He was anti-Christ, anti these things. He said to his wife, listen here, because I had this little meeting in my house. I think it was God ordained with some people. And his wife wanted to come. And he said to his wife, he said, you know what? I'll only come this one time with you. And that's it. And then I'll come, you can just come on your own. I'm not going to come every week with you to all these meetings. And he came walking into the place with her, not knowing anything. I've met him, I don't know if I've met him or not. I can't remember before then. But as he put his foot into our house, the very presence of God surrounded him. That guy began to weep. I'm not speaking of a teenager. I'm speaking of a guy that's gone through life. Come on, are you guys with me? He's got children. That guy began to weep and break down. I heard his testimony only I don't know anything. That happens. We prayed for the guy. I heard his testimony only afterwards. He said, Leon, when I walked into the house, it was like something struck my heart and broke me. Then I saw him a few days after that. He was so full of light that the light was shining out of his eyes. The light was shining out of his face, because he had an encounter with the face of God. His life is so changed around. He reads his Bible more than me every day. Come on, are you guys with me? I've seen drug addicts going into youth camps, and they literally, when they encounter the face of God, the goodness of God, there's life, there's favor, and there's revival that'll come upon our lives. And let me tell you, the time is coming back where every single person that's even sitting in this church in Destiny will have a supernatural encounter with the living face of God. And your life will be forever changed when you see His face, because His face will become your face and your face will shine His face. Come on, are you guys with me? Wherever you go, the people you won't even have to open your mouth. They will just see the face of God. When this guy that walked into our house that got changed, he went back to work. Everybody at work said to him, what the hell happened to you? They said, what happened to you? Why are you so shining? Unbelievers saw the light and the face of God upon him because he had a supernatural encounter. Amen. Now I'm giving this message through because I was in a season of weariness and tiredness, and that's when I spoke to Pastor Mark and I wanted to give up, and I believe that there's many sitting here even that's there, or you become weary. The weariness is the most dangerous place we can be in our lives. And you know, he sought the Lord, and as long as what he sought the Lord God, God made him to prosper. Not prayer. Am I against prayer? Absolutely not. I intercede every morning and evening. I'm not against that. But what is the motive and the foundation? what is my life based on? What is my very first, most priority, my highest priority in life? What is my purpose? What is my desperation? What is my passion? It must be to seek God. It must be to seek His presence. It must be to seek His face. You know, I'm just going through a few points here, what I wrote down. But as long as he sought, not prayed, to the Lord, he would prosper. Our prayer must have a seeking in it. Otherwise, it is useless. If there's no seeking in it. You know, this, I know, now the Bible says he sought the Lord. Now, how does he sought? This is, I want to get to the secret to victory. Just give me a few more minutes and I'm going to close off. But I'm just trying actually to find my place here. He sought the Lord. I need you guys to stay with me in the spirit. He sought the Lord. How do we seek God? So many people asking me, how do I seek God? I had countless of people asking me, Leon, how do I seek God? How do I get into that place? How do I do it? You know what? I want to explain to you, and I'm going to give through this morning, five things that will be restored to you when you and I begin to seek God once again. Buddhism is a religion. What's more, Hinduism is a religion. Christianity is also a religion. Are you guys with me? But it can be a relationship as well. And there is something that's different about that. And this might just be for one person. About Christianity, that it, any with any other religion. Well, there's many things that's different. But one of the main things is you don't have intimacy with any of the other gods that you serve in any other religion. With Christianity, it is only God that we have the ability to have intimacy with. And Isaiah 40 verse 31, just put that on for me. I want to just explain how to seek the Lord and what will happen. Isaiah 40 verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to read it again. Those who wait on the Lord. Waiting means to be intertwined. It speaks of a rope, three pieces of string that makes a rope. It means to become one with Him. It doesn't only mean to sit in your chair and wait, but it means to become one with God, to be intertwined. But those who wait, who becomes intertwined with God, who become one with Him, who seeks His face in their rooms, who says, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of a few things and I'm going to begin to seek God again and seek His presence in my life. I want nothing less, nothing more, nothing else but the manifest presence of God in my life. And listen to me, attacks comes to every single one of us. We go through valleys and we go through high places. Amen. I was through a valley the last 2 months, but let me tell you, the last two, three weeks, I made up my mind and I said, you know what, God, it's time for me to recharge my battery, my spiritual battery again. And I'm going to begin to spend time in your presence again. And I am not going to submit to Satan who tried to suffocate me or try to suffocate my wife or try to suffocate our ministry or our team or the Python spirit or the pastors or the religion or every single person that came against us and spoke evil words and foul words. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm going to keep my heart pure. I'm not going to hate them. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to forgive them. But you know what? I'm going to begin to seek your face and enter into the presence of God. And all of a sudden a shift began to happen over the last 2 weeks and I found myself full, overflowing again. God wants us to become overflowing, full of His presence. When I am weak, when I'm a season of weakness, it's like somebody phones and I'm like, oh, I don't even want to pick up that phone. Or it's like, oh, they're one of my disciples wants to do something, or asking a question again, or asking that same, how can they ask such a stupid question? Or how can I must go to the home cell? Now that becomes a duty more than what it becomes a passion. That means I have lost my spiritual energy. I have become weak. Now there's five things that will be restored to us when we wait upon the Lord. I know we usually give notes out on a Sunday morning, but you know, Pastor Mark only asked me last night and we had to fly 5 o'clock this morning out here. So I just put some stuff here on my iPad, so I don't have notes to give to you. But five things will be restored to you when you wait upon the Lord. when we seek Him, when we seek a relationship with Him. Number one, spiritual energy, power, and strength will be returned back to you. The Bible says these words. It says, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Everybody say to me, renew their strength. The first key that will happen to you is that you will renew your strength. A spiritual energy will come back to you. A spiritual power will come back to you. A strength will come back to you. When you decide and say, listen here, I'm going to wait on the Lord, which doesn't mean I'm just sitting in my house and waiting, but I'm going to become one with Him. I'm going to lock myself in my room and I'm going to be still before His presence. Or I'm going to seek Him in prayer. Or I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. But I'm going to do something until something happens, until something shifts inside of me. Until something changes inside of me. And when I walk out of my room, something must be different. The very first thing that will be restored back to our spiritual lives is strength. Spiritual strength, power, spiritual energy. Then you and I will become an overcomer over sin and death. Your energy level will begin to rise. Your body and spirit will be quickened by that energy. The book of Philippians says that He works in us to both to do and to will. Do you know that you and I can't even have a desire to serve God unless He puts it in us? We can't even have a desire to worship or to pray or to read the Bible unless He puts it in us. But it says He will work it in us. That word work means energy, which where we get the Greek word energeo from, which means that that energy, that spiritual energy comes by seeking God. We get our spiritual energy back to seek Him more again, and our prayer life back, our passion back to begin to seek the face of God. He will give you the energy and power to operate. You'll become spiritually strong again. Spiritual weakness is the most dangerous place. That is where the devil takes us out. So the first thing that will happen is you and I will become strong in the Spirit. How many of you say to me that you want to be strong in the Spirit? Amen? The second thing that will happen is discernment will be restored to you. Deuteronomy 32, you don't have to go to it. Deuteronomy 32 says these words. It says that the eagle has to detect the winds before it flies. When an eagle flies, it actually detects the wind, discernment. An eagle has such potent eyes that it can see kilometers away and zooms in on its prey to target it. Discernment, spiritual perception. The second thing that will happen when you and I become start seeking God again and waiting upon His presence, and will be taken up on wings of an eagle. The second thing that will happen is our discernment will be restored back, which means that when you and I are weak, we don't know who is talking to us. Is it the devil now or is it God? I don't know now. You know, I hear this voice, but now I don't know if it's God or the devil. So I go to the pastor to pray for me. Please, I don't know what decision to make. It's only because I've missed and I'm out of the presence of God. When I'm in the presence of God and I'm seeking Him and my spiritual battery begins to be restored, what happens is discernment comes back. You see, now you can hear God for yourself again. People who are always going for counseling and all these things, they do not know the presence of God in a sense of spending time with Him. But when you are strong and can hear His voice again, He will guide and lead you. So those are the two things. The third thing that God will return to you when you begin to seek Him is altitude. It says these words in the scripture. Let me just read you the scripture. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, number one. Then they shall have discernment, number two. Then it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall mount up. They shall go high. They shall go high into the heights of the realms of the Spirit. It is in the high places where God dwells. Come on, are you guys with me? Not in the valleys, not in the low places, it's in the high places. It says, only in the high altitude is the power of God. And I'm speaking about the power, I'm speaking about the manifest presence, please. I do understand and know God is everywhere, but God is not manifested everywhere, because He's only manifested where He is celebrated. Deuteronomy 32 verse 13 said, I didn't read it earlier, it says that He made us to ride on high places. You see, the high places is where the demonic is absent. The high places is where the power of God rests. When you get to the high places, the demonic cannot touch you. When you get to the high places in the realm of the spirit, that is where the curses must be broken. When you get to the high places in the realm of the spirit, that is where all those things that were coming against you, the people that were trying to attack you, the sickness that is trying to kill you, it has to bow its knee because it is illegal in the high places of the realm of the spirit of God. When I start off my Christianity, Christ is in me. But when I begin to spend more time with Him and get towards the end, or I begin to spend a lot of time in the manifest presence of God through the Holy of Holies, I'm not going to go through that, then I go from Christ being in me to me being in Christ, hidden in Him. Same thing with the blood. There's two things. You get the blood that forgives you and the blood that cleanses you. Blood forgives everybody that asks forgiveness. But it doesn't cleanse everybody. Cleanses those who walks in the light and has fellowship with one another and confesses their sins. So the blood forgives, but it also has a cleansing work. Outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies is locked up inside of us. That's how I spend time with the presence of God. I know you guys know this. But on the outer courts, the blood doesn't cleanse, it forgives. Only once I get into the inner court does the blood begin to do its cleansing work. That's when I begin to spend time in prayer in my room, and the presence comes and the anointing comes, and it's, and all of a sudden there's energy that comes back to me, an energy in me. All of a sudden there's a strength that comes back. Man, all of a sudden discernment comes back. All of a sudden the blood begins to do a cleansing work. All of a sudden the guilt goes away. So many people ask God for forgiveness, and guess what? The guilt still stays there. Doesn't mean they're not forgiven. Just means they're not cleansed. How do I cleanse? Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Amen? So the third thing that will be restored is altitude. You see, He made him suck honey out of the rock. That's where you get the anointing. You cannot understand the scripture in low places. A lot of people dwell in the low places. They don't have revelation. Honey is anointing and revelation and clarity in the high places. You find the anointing very strong up in high places. There's anointing when we all worship corporately. But when you go into the high places, you always see with worship, that's my type of ministry. I'll try, especially in the evening services, to lead people into a high place. Because I know there's a place that He has prepared for us. That once we break through to that place, everything comes down that you need. Deliverance, miracles, healings, breakthrough. Whatever you need is locked up in that high place. The anointing gets stronger in that high place. Amen? I think I'm speaking too much. Is it okay? You guys understanding me? Okay. The fourth thing that will be restored to you is acceleration. Everybody say to me, acceleration. Speed. There shall be restoration and acceleration. Everything you lost will come back quickly. Time will be redeemed. There are many people sitting here and they believe that, listen here, Leon, I'm this old, or I'm at this age. How can God possibly use me? Sitting with a young man a short while ago, 25 years old, given up on the call of God in his life. I'm thinking, you idiot. I said, you're 25 years old. I said, how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, even if God does not come through for us, we will still not bow our knee. How about die trying? How about Caleb and Joshua? Caleb that waited 80 years before seeing the promised land. Come on, are you guys with me? There's something in perseverance. There's something in endurance. There's something in never giving up, where God is saying, listen, you, right now is the time that is allotted for you, and I'm going to give it to you. And even those that are saying, listen here, Leon, I have been waiting for too long, or it's over and done, God doesn't want to use me. Let me tell you, when you get back into the manifest presence of God and you make a decision to say that I'm going to wait on the Lord, I'm going to intertwine with Him, I'm going to spend time with Him, I'm going to seek the face of God, there will be a redemption of time upon your life, and God will redeem the time that has been lost, and where there will be restoration. Let me tell you, when there's restoration, restoration isn't only restoring that which you've lost, bringing back. Restoration means to restore that which you've lost back and even more. David lost their wives, their children, their property, and he went to God and he began to sought. He sought God's face. The Bible says he went to inquire of the Lord. He sought God. David knew the secret of seeking God's face. Even though his wife was kidnapped and all the warriors around him's wives were kidnapped and taken captive, their children were taken captive, their cities were burned down, David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seek the face of God. And you know what God said to him? He said, David, I give you a command today. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. And which means that, listen here, I command you right now to go and take the enemy out, and I shall bring restoration, and you will recover everything back and even more that the enemy has taken from you. Amen. Restoration brings back more. The prodigal son left home. When he came back, all of a sudden he got a ring, a robe, and a fatted calf. He got more than what he had when he left. Acceleration. How many of you know to make good wine takes a long time to ferment? Apparently, that is right? I don't know, winemakers or so, but it will take 20 or 30 years to ferment. And Jesus would walk into a wedding and do his first miracle. And as he walked into that place, turns the water into wine, or one of his first miracles, turns the water into wine, and also good wine, because the Bible says the good wine was left for last. That's why I like long services, because the good wine usually gets been poured out and lost. But the good wine, he even made good wine out of water, where it takes months and years to ferment wine. Jesus did it in 1 second. It speaks of acceleration. When there was a boat with his disciples on and Jesus got into the boat, when the disciples opened their eyes again, they were on the other side of the lake. What happened when Jesus gets into your life and the manifest presence of God gets into your life? Immediately there's an acceleration and a speed anointing that comes upon you, which means that you will overtake your enemies. Come on, are you guys with me? I can go from Elijah that outran a chariot and go through all of it. Speed, acceleration, when the manifest presence of God come upon you. I'm going to close now. The last thing that happens, the fifth key, when you and I begin to wait on the Lord and seek His face, is fellowship. It said they walk together. They. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk together. It speaks of a unity and it speaks of a fellowship. The fifth key that will happen when you and I begin to seek the face of God, intimacy will return back to you. Many has lost that intimacy, that first love, that passion in their hearts for Jesus, just for the presence of God to come into their lives, just to go talk to somebody about Him, or just to think of Him. There's not a day that goes by that I do not think about God or the promises of His life for my life, the promises that He has for my life. Not one day in my life that goes by that I don't think of it or Him. There's an intimacy of fellowship that returns back. You see, in this intimacy, they shall walk together. You see, now you're back. This means that we are back at a place of protection, back into a place of partnership. Suddenly, all of a sudden, after seeking God and waiting upon Him for a week or 2 weeks, how long it takes you to recharge your battery, all of a sudden you pray and your prayer becomes powerful. All of a sudden you open up your mouth and it feels like it goes right through to heaven into the throne room of God. Come on, guys, with me. Many people say, my prayer is hitting the roof. How much are you seeking God? Because if you seek God and the manifest presence of God is there, your prayer will become powerful. Not always there, of course, there's times. That at times of testing, but that's not my message now. Suddenly your intimacy with the Lord is back. Suddenly you're singing a new song. Suddenly light is back into your eyes. Suddenly sin is powerless. Suddenly you are not tempted as easily. Suddenly you cannot stand the filth on television anymore. Where maybe 3 weeks ago there was a lot of swearing and you can watch that, you don't care, you didn't feel anything. Now all of a sudden they just say one swear word and you feel there's a person inside of you that's being grieved and you say, no, just switch off or change the channel or go watch something else. Why? Because your intimacy has returned back to the Lord. And if we ignore that voice, we make it dull again, and if his voice disappears again for a time. Your hunger is restored. Hunger is the true sign of spirituality. People who lose their physical hunger becomes weak and sickly. Any doctor will tell you, if you lose your hunger, you become a sick person. But when you lose your spiritual hunger, you become spiritually sick. You know, Madame Guyon said, now let me not get there. I want to close with kind of like with this verse, two verses, and then I'm going to let you go. Job 28 verse 7 says this. Job 28:7. Just put that on the screen. That path that no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen. Now listen to this. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. I'm going to read it again. That path. What is Job saying? He says, listen, there is a path that no bird knows. Speaks of the fowl of the air, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, demonic entities. Nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it. Satan, who comes roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Nor has the fierce lion passed over it. There is a place with our relationship with God where we can enter into. Where, listen to me, it is a place of such protection and such safety that no devil can touch you or can harm you or can come even close to you. It is a place of such safety and protection and hiding that nothing will happen to you. Psalm 42. Oh, you know, yeah, my battery goes, but that's fine, I'm finished. Psalm 42 says these words. You don't have to go there, it's fine. It says these words. It says, or go to Psalm 42. Let me read it, the verse. Psalm 42. I'm going to close off with this. David is saying, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Just go on to the next verse. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He's saying, go back to the first verse. He says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for the living God. So David was saying, he says, listen here, God, I am so hungry for you that as a deer pants for the water brooks, so is my spirit hungry for you. So is my soul hungry for you. There's two things. I know there's some people that are sitting here that's boring. That's fine. I hope most of you guys are not bored. We're going to finish now. Are you guys okay? Sorry, I'm just antagonizing just one devil that I'm seeing. But that's okay. We have people coming with knives at our services up in Joburg. It's chaos up there. There you must have the power of God. While you're preaching, they're running with a knife towards you or something like that. But there's two things that happens when a deer goes to a water brook. Number one, his thirst, and I want to close with this, I want to get this through. His thirst gets quenched, which means that the water speaks of the presence of God, and the deer speaks of us. And David is saying, he says, Father, he says, God, my soul thirsts for you and longs for you as a deer pants for the water brooks, as the deer is panting. Panting just to get a sip of water. David is saying, so hungry am I for you. I just want to taste your presence, your manifest presence. And when that deer comes to the water brook, number one, you know what? His thirst is quenched and he gets the presence of God into him. But secondly, the second key that happens, this is the most powerful thing, and I want you guys to catch this now. I don't want you guys to lose it. The second thing a deer goes to the water is to lose its scent so that the enemy cannot catch him. When a deer is being chased by an enemy, it runs to a water brook, and when it gets into the water, system, this its scent is lost, and the enemy cannot smell it anymore. When you and I get into the presence and the manifest presence of God, your scent is being changed, and the enemy cannot get close to you. The enemy cannot touch you or cannot take you out. Come on, are you guys with me? Can everybody stand to their feet for me? And just, I want us just to close and pray. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray now for your presence and your power. Lord, I know we have 3 services a day, so it's a little bit limited with time. But I pray for the word that you've given me for tonight, the revelational word. I pray for the power of the living God to be in this place. Father, all together we ask for your manifest Shekinah, Kabout, glory of God to enter into this place to meet every need of a person. For I sense that there is going to be the miracle of the working of miracles and prophecy in this place tonight. And I ask for your spirit to come upon every person. I pray that you'll draw them back, that you'll draw people to this place. I don't care if it's a public holiday. Those that are here, I pray that you'll pour out the spirit of revival upon their lives like never before. I pray for a fresh hunger to be restored back into their lives once again. I pray that you'll be with them even as they leave this place today, and that you'll protect and guard them in every area of their lives. Father, we give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory, and we love you from the bottom of our hearts. I pray that you'll restore back to us the seeking of your face in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, let's give him a praise offering. Amen.